Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, as we think about your holy stories from your word, may they come to life for us, inspire and challenge, refine us, and set us right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So earlier I pointed to these royal photos, and before I get into the book of Genesis, when you go and have a look at them after, I also want you to picture yourself in a royal photo as if your face was there. Because if you are in Christ, then that portrait would actually be speaking a reality, that you are royalty because you've been adopted into the family of the King. We're told in 1 Peter that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people belonging to God. So that's who we are. We are actually children of the King. But the passage that I'm talking about today is from Genesis 39. Last week we heard Karen, she picked up again from Genesis 38, the story of Joseph, who at the end of last week's passage, we realized that he'd been sold into slavery and was going to Potiphar's house in Egypt, which is a pretty terrible thing. I don't think any of us would want to be in Joseph's shoes being sold into slavery. I wonder what he was thinking on the way. How much he hated his brothers. If only I could get them individually, I might want to bop each one of them. I wonder if he was bitter. Thought, if I ever get away from here, I'm going to get them back. Whether he was moaning or lamenting, don't know. We don't know what he was doing. You can only imagine what he might have been thinking. What would you think? It would be terrible. Before I go right into the story, obviously he was still intact when he got to Egypt, because we hear that he started to go and do some really remarkable things, both in the jail and in Potiphar's house and later on with Pharaoh. So he obviously didn't let the circumstances unravel him to the point where he was less than what he was before. He didn't get unraveled. I want to just tap back to Karen's story last week again, because we heard that he had these dreams and that he was pretty forward in confronting his brothers, telling them, oh, I'm going to be this and this and this. So he didn't couch it in a way that they could receive. He was pretty proud to wear his the coat that his dad gave, which again moved into the unfair favouring of his dad towards him. So he lived into that. And so his brothers were really jealous. And I wonder if Joseph, if he had played his cards different, if he had, of rather than rub it in his brothers' faces, had have actually said, yeah, I know Dad likes me more, but actually we're all equal. If he hadn't have then gone and said, oh, I'm going to be bigger, even if that dream was true, couched it in a different way, it may have been a different scenario. Which made me ask a question of Joseph, this is a question that I ask myself once a month. It actually comes up in my cycle of calendars. It makes me ask this. Because I wonder, what part did Joseph play in getting into the problems that he got into? Was he an innocent person? No, he wasn't. Does it justify what his brothers did? Of course not. But what part did he play in ending up being sold into slavery? I wonder, that's the question that I ask actually myself each month, what part am I playing in what's going wrong in my life? Because it's easy to go, it's them. No, them. That's easy to do. The hard thing is to look at yourself and say, well, what part am I playing in this hostility in my family? What part am I playing in the disorganization in my work? What part am I playing in the friction in a certain part of my life? What part am I playing in our workplace not being productive? It's an important question for us to ask. And if we are honest and we realize, oh, that's not so good, I'm playing a big part, or even a little one, then the best thing you can do is own it. And go and say, oh, I realize that this has been occurring. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to be that anymore. I'm going to try and live a new day. That happened to me years and years ago. My sister-in-law now, I didn't like her. Why? Because my brother, who I was really close with, she was the wedge. She was the wedge! And so I was horrible to her. I knew she got irritated at different things, and so I kept on pulling at that thing that would irritate her, and I would deliberately do it to provoke her, to make her look like the baddie. And I realized that that was not on. And so when I realized that, the right thing for me to do was to go and talk to her. And down near Coles downtown, I invited her for a coffee, and as we were sitting down having a coffee, I said to her, this is one of the most humbling conversations I've ever had, but I said, I'm so sorry for how I've treated you. I'm wrong. Our relationship has not been working because I have not been helpful or kind. Now, that's only part of the story. She did have, like, she was mean to me too, but I, on that day, only owned what I did, right? So I didn't say, but you this, this and this. I went to her and said, I have done this. Please forgive me. And now we still stir each other, but we love each other. I didn't at the start. So Joseph's story can help us ask the question, and all our lives will be different. But if you can ask yourself that question, what part am I playing? And if there's an opportunity for you to own it, it's a great thing to do. Okay, move on to the next chapter. All right. So the next chapter, we find Joseph in Egypt, and he was in Potiphar's house, sold as a slave. Just terrible. And in Potiphar's house, he worked hard. And he actually got that house in order. And he became so much responsibility in that house that there was only a few things that actually Potiphar did anymore because Joseph had taken such control. So he was just an amazing worker. Obviously, he wasn't going around like a sourpuss, because Potiphar wouldn't have given him any tasks. So even though he was put in a bad situation, he went about doing the best he could. He went about doing the best he could. And I'll come back to that again in a moment when he gets into jail again, because the same thing happens. But the next thing that happened in this story was that Potiphar's wife noticed Joseph. Noticed that he was well built and handsome. Me and Joseph got a few things in common. That's probably where our similarities end. But anyway, Joseph was well built and handsome, and Potiphar's wife noticed it, and she wanted to sleep with him. she wanted to take advantage of this relationship and she wanted to live into the pleasure. Joseph refused. He refused on an ongoing basis. As you read this story, it was again and again and again, he said no. So much so that later on, when her advances were rejected, the coat was taken, she accused him of something that had not happened. And Joseph then ended up in prison. Sometimes we do play a part in what goes wrong. Sometimes bad things happen to us that are out of our control. That was the case with Joseph this time. It was out of his hands, and nonetheless, bad things happened to him, and he ended up then in prison. When things like that happen, that are out of your control, that happen to you, you can't control those things, but what you can control at that point, that you still have control of, is how you respond in that situation. That is not taken away from you, even if you're put in a situation that you can't control. I do recall reading about some of the people in concentration camps on reflecting on everything being taken away from them except for the choice to choose how they would respond. Would they respond to those who were being hostile to them with violence, or would I choose to love them? And some of the people chose to just continue to love and love and love and love, even in the face of the hostility that was shown in those concentration camps. And here Joseph, put in prison, he again had a choice that he could make. How am I going to respond? He could have gone, oh no, everything's against me. But he didn't. And very quickly, he was in charge of the jail. In both of these cases, rather than going down into the pit of despair and staying there, he was willing to move into the situation and think, what can happen now? What can I do now? What can I be a part of? I think the key to why Joseph was willing to just keep going was that God was with him and that he knew it. Four times in this passage, it says, the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph. And so, wherever he was, he still had his maker close. He still knew that he was loved by God and that God was near. That he could still go about purpose, even when he was sold into slavery, even when he was in jail. The purpose for his life was not undone, nor was God's hand too far from him. And so, because God was with him, his work was blessed, and he went about his day with purpose. So, brothers and sisters, I don't think any of you have been sold into slavery yet. And I don't think any of you have been in jail yet. Maybe. But what I want to just say for you, it's for you to know once again, we're told that Jesus said to his disciples that he would be with them always to the very end of the age. And so what was said of Joseph, that God was with him, that is true of you too. That if you're in Christ, wherever you go, whether a jail, whether the far reaches of the world, whether the Bendigo Council offices or Bendigo Timber, God is with you. God is there, and you can go about every day with purpose. Now, there might be times that really hard things happen wherever you go, but God is near. God is with you. For me, and I hope for you too, that makes an immense difference in my life, knowing that God is near. It means that I go about my day with purpose. It means I have hope when things go wrong, that I'm able to move in to say, oh Lord, you can even work bad things into good. Even though I may not be able to see why this has happened, I trust that you will bring good and use these things for your purpose. How could Joseph have trust in God when he gets sent into slavery, when he gets put in prison, and yet his faith in God was still sure that when he, next week we hear about him having dreams, he knew that they were from God. His head or hands weren't pushing God away saying, how dare you send me here? But rather he was living into each day knowing that God has a purpose. And indeed he does. Now please don't hear me say that when we go through hard times that they're just easy. I don't mean to be glib about our hard times, because our hard times are really, really hard. They really are. But what I want us to never forget is that God is near and that he can work good things out of our most tragic moments. And we may not see it until eternity, what has been worked for good, but the promise for his people is that they will be. I pray that we will be able to be empowered in our workplaces or wherever we go, knowing that God is with us. The other thing from this story, which I find really amazing, is Joseph's integrity. Multiple times he said no. No to the pleasures of this world. No to abusing the friendship with his boss. Oh, well, not friendship, the power dynamics. But he recognized his place and he kept on saying no, even though he could have got away with this. He could have slept with Potiphar's wife and no one would have known. Well, except Joseph and Potiphar. In this story, Joseph says there's one other who would know. Because he said in verse 9, how then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Here's one of the keys. Because Joseph knew that he was with him when he got sent into slavery and would have known again later that he was with him in the jail, that when he was facing temptation, he also knew that God was with him and that God had called him to live a good life and a wholesome life. And Joseph, knowing that God was close, chose, I'm not going to give in to this temptation. Sometimes we know that God's close and we do fall into temptation and sin. And so that's where Joseph's story can make us go, oh no, Lord, I wish I had strength like Joseph. I wish I could have been as strong as him. But sometimes we're not. Joseph is a great example in this case of something that is good. But it is hard sometimes to resist temptation. We know that. We're so thankful, though, when we fall and we do sin, that Jesus has promised that he would forgive us if we turn back and we recognize again that God is near. That God doesn't want us pushed away, that God is close and he wants us to be walking with him each day. He doesn't want us to become aware of our fallings just so we can put our face in the dust. He wants us to become aware of them so we can be renewed and restored and then each day, once again, anew say, God is with me. I'm almost done now. I've just got a couple of things between Joseph's story and Jesus' story that I just want to say, oh, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Did you know Joseph and Jesus were both sold for coins? That 12 abandoned Joseph and 12 abandoned Jesus. That both of them were wrongly accused. That both of them were put into a dark prison. It's just that Jesus was into a tomb after he'd been crucified. That Joseph was vindicated later, and so too was Jesus by God being raised from death rather than raised from a jail. Joseph got to save when he came out of prison. He got to save all of Egypt. But Jesus got to save the whole world from sin and death. Friends, may we, as we recall this story of Joseph, may we continue to remember, to acknowledge our part in what goes wrong, to ask God to be with us, knowing that he is actually, for us to remember that he is with us in those situations that we can't change the outcome, but we're put in. Pray that God will use our everyday work and life, that he will use that and empower it so that we can be productive like Joseph was. Ask for his blessing and inspiration. And pray that the places where we interact in this world would thrive, even if they're not our home place, like Joseph did. And may we continue to look to Jesus, who has enabled the Holy Spirit through his life, death, and resurrection to come into our lives and be with us wherever we are.